Now let's turn to the arts. The San Joaquin Valley is home to a number of poets, past and present. Just yesterday, Juan Felipe Herrera, a former U.S. Poet Laureate, got a shout-out during Governor Gavin Newsom's inauguration. And earlier this month, Fresno City College professor Lee Herrick came out with his own new book of poetry. It's his first since he finished his tenure as Fresno's Poet Laureate. He spoke with me about how his book incorporates new themes for him, like gun violence, among familiar ideas, like adoption. Lee, thanks for being here with us. So we're here in part to talk about Scar and Flower, which is your third and latest book. Your previous book, Gardening Secrets of the Dead, came out in 2012. Can you talk a little bit about what's maybe different between that book and this one?
Sure. Well, Gardening Secrets of the Dead had a lot of poems in it about my adoption, about South Korea, about some political elements, about the adoption community. But Scar and Flower, which I'm really excited about, is very different. I was writing a lot about violence and American gun violence specifically, some poems about suicide and trauma of that nature. And so the first half of Scar and Flower is comprised mainly of poems about that. And the second half of the book is more about how we survive that violence as an individual, as a community, and how we can hopefully persevere through some of those things.
I really wanted to talk about that, the gun violence thing that, as I was reading, came through quite clearly. And initially, the first section, which is entitled Scar, I was thinking, oh, because, you know, shootings and violence and death leaves a lot of emotional scars and physical scars. But then there continued to be these poems throughout the second portion entitled Flower. And I don't know, what led you to write those poems that, similar, I guess, to your second book, having a little bit of talking about politics of adoption, politics of different things? What led you to write about that?
You know, I don't know that I entered those poems with any specific intention. Honestly, for me, the best poems are the ones that call you out whether you want to write about them or not. And so, for example, in 2012, Sandy Hook. In 2014, Michael Brown was killed in Ferguson, Missouri. 2016, the Orlando Club shooting. And so those events really moved me. There was a Korean adoptee who committed suicide in 2017 after being deported back to South Korea. One of my closest friends had an older brother who committed suicide. And so I just found myself writing in response to a lot of those things. And this book came out of it.
So you brought your book, Scar and Flower, and I understand you maybe picked one or two poems to read. Do you mind reading them?
I thought I'd read one that has to do with my adoption, and it's also sort of a poem about birth mothers or first mothers as well. And so this is called How Music Stays in the Body. Your body is a song called Birth or First Mother. A miracle that gave birth to another exquisite song. One song raises three boys with a white husband. One song fought an American war overseas. One song leapt from 14 stories high and like a dead bird shattered into the clouds. Most forgot the lyrics to their own bodies or decided to paint abstracts of mountains or moons in the shape of your face. I've been told mothers don't forget the body. I can't remember your face, the shape or story, or how you held me the day I was born, so I wrote 1,000 poems to survive. I want to sing with you in an open field, a simple room, or a quiet bar. I want to hear your opinions about angels. Truth is, angels drink too. Soju spilled on the halo, white wings sticky with gin, as if any mother could forget the music that left her. You should hear how loudly I sing now. I've become a ballad of wild dreams and coping mechanisms. I can breathe now through any fire. I imagine I got this from him or you, my earthly inheritance, your arms, your sigh, your heavy song. I know all the lyrics. I know all the blood. I know why angels howl into the moonlight.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Was there another poem that you wanted to read as well, or?
Sure. I'll try to change it up a little bit.
Yeah. What is it? Is it similar?
Let's see. I'll read something that's a little different. This other poem, I think I'll read, called "Flight," and it's in the second part of the book that has to do with how we cope and survive, and even maybe with a little bit of grace and joy. I think that's as important as anything. So this poem, "Flight," is really just a poem about an airplane trip that I made to Oregon, and I started doing a crossword puzzle, but it had already been begun, and I just started imagining the people's lives who were traveling and the people we meet, and so it's called "Flight." The in-flight magazine crossword partially done, a corner begun here, scratched out answers there, one set of answers in pencil, another in green. The woman with the green ballpoint knew the all-time hit king is Rose, and the Siem Reap treasure is Angkor Wat. The woman, perhaps en route to hold her dying mother's hand in Seattle, forgot about death for 10 minutes while remembering her husband's Cincinnati Reds hat while gardening after the diagnosis. Her handwriting was so clean. Maybe she was a surgeon. Maybe a painter. No. What painter wouldn't know 17 down? Diego's love. 5 letters. In a rush, her dying mother's voice came back to her. Or maybe she was a Chinese adoptee, and her first mother's imagined voice said, "Wo ai ni." At 30,000 feet, you focus on 33 across. Asian American classic. The woman. When a stranger in the window seat sees the clue and watches me write in W and whispers, "Warrior." And for a moment, you forget it is your favorite memoir. And she reminds you of lilies or roses, Van Gogh or stems with thorns. Art galleries in romantic cities where she is headed, but you should not go. The flight attendant grazes my shoulder. In the crossword squares, the letters, the chairs and aisles seem so tight in flight, but there is nothing here but room, really. And maybe the next passenger will know what I do not. 64 down, 5 letters. Purpose. And why do we remember what we do? We know the buzz of Dickinson's fly and the number of years in Marquez's solitude, but some things we will never know as it should be. Why the body sometimes rumbles like a plane hurtling over southern Oregon. How exactly we fall in love, or if Frida and Maxine Hong Kingston would have loved the same kind of tea.
Wow, thank you so much for reading that. One thing I wanted to ask is, you were the city's Fresno's Poet Laureate from 2015 to 2017, mm-hmm. and this is your first book since ending in that position. Do you feel like that changed how you wrote or, you know, anything about your craft?
That's a good question. You know, being the Poet Laureate of Fresno was an incredible honor. You might know, or your listeners might know, of Fresno's incredibly deep and rich poetry tradition. So to be nominated and then appointed was pretty incredible. It did. I think that experience deepened my sense of not only Fresno, but some of the work and grit and perseverance that goes on here every day. So for example, I did a couple of readings at Valley State Prison, which was very intense and really one of the most rewarding reading experiences I've had. In Scar and Flower, there's a poem called Truths that I wrote for my induction ceremony at City Hall. There's a poem for Juan Felipe Herrera, who's a real inspiration and a friend to many people here, including me. So, yeah, it was a wonderful experience.
All right, well, that's where we're going to have to leave it. But we have been speaking with Lee Herrick, former Fresno Poet Laureate and a professor at Fresno City College. His latest book is Scar and Flower. It's published by Word Poetry Press. You can find it online on Amazon and the like. But Lee, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.